The plan was to get us as close to the submarine as possible.
Yeah, because I didn't believe, honestly, that we were going to get all the way to the submarine, or even inside it.
No. And we had real troubles climbing the fence, so we were thinking, oh, like, should we go back and get a ladder or a blanket or something to put over the sharp things on the fence. Then we managed to, like, after half an hour to get over in some way.
Yeah, I maybe tried it 3 or 4 times, and I was all, oh, it's not working, I can't do this. And then, in the end, we didn't have any choice.
How did you, sorry to be a bit more specific, how did you actually get over the fence in the end? What did you use to defend yourself from the spikes?
You were climbing on me. We had a plastic... We found some plastic, thick plastic to put on top of it. Yeah.
Nice English people are throwing the carpets on the forest or somewhere, so...
Yeah.
Like, skipping.
That was just lying around, the carpet.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of preparation you did, how soon before you did it did you decide you were going to do it? And apart from... I mean, what did you take with you in preparation?
We had only bolt cutters with us.
Yeah, that's all. And the nuclear weapons for beginners, a guide.
No, it was just something to be.
Yeah,
but they took it as evidence.
So, yeah. I don't know when you decided. I decided that I wanted to do some kind of action before I went
to the camp.
Yeah, to the camp. But
I wasn't sure. I was supposed to go to the blockade on Monday.
Yeah.
And I thought that maybe if there's something going on, am I? Join. Ah, yeah. And I just said to the, you've got doing something, I can come with you.
Yeah.
So this was, you met at the camp and decided that you were going to do stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've met...
So that was the day before?
Yeah, it was on Thursday, I think.
It must be Thursday.
Ah.
Right. So you decided you were going to do it on Thursday, and on Friday you found yourself standing inside.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but we were supposed to, like, talk about the action together. But we just didn't do it, but we were watching the maps.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why we knew where the submarine is. So we didn't have to walk around the base looking for them. So we just knew that it's there, that way.
Yeah, we're basically just walking on the pavement, like, trying to walk fast and not be seen, but
so you didn't have to hide, and you didn't get lost, and you just walked straight to the submarine.
First, I think we were trying to sneak around a bit, but then when we saw the cars are just driving and they don't even look at us, so just keep on walking so that we are allowed to walk here.
Yeah, we even passed like one or two walking people, so.
So actually, we are allowed to walk there.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be attached.
The people that you walk past.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Mm.
They didn't seem to see the strange thing in two young hippies with the bolt cutters in their backpack.
And actually, on the way, when we were walking, I think we were talking about that if we meet people working there.
Yeah.
Then we were planning what should we talk with them. So, really well planned action. but it was just that. Yeah.
And people that you did see.
Yeah.
When you actually got to the submarine and you saw some people, and you tried interacting with them, can you tell us about that?
After we pressed the fire alarm, like two of them.
Yeah.
After maybe 5 minutes, they start to climb people up from the outside from the. Oh,
from the submarine.
So they were leaving because of the fire alarm?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because
they must
have been there, but they didn't seem to hurry or anything. No. They're really slowly. We tried to stop them and say them with hello. We're from Trident Powers.
And these nuclear weapons are illegal, and we are inspectors and that kind of thing. But they... I think they want to have a break. They just went on.
So they ignored you and left?
Yeah, they left the submarine.
And then how soon before someone else came in?
There was one guy walking and running on the other side of the sub.
Yeah.
And he was looking. I think he was the only one who actually realized that there's something like wrong. that there's some people here who's not actually a worker. So. And he tried to talk with people, and the but nothing happened then. Yeah. But then after a few minutes, there came the officer who's obviously working in the submarine.
Yeah.
So by that time, how long had you been in the base, and more specifically, how long had you been in or on the submarine?
I think on the submarine, about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In like and on, we were walking around. And in a base.
Hard to say.
Hard to say.
An hour? No. No.
Maybe.
So how long did it take to get to the submarine from first climbing the gate fence?
20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. But we were stopping to look at the buildings. The nice buildings with the high radiation.
Yeah, it's really
the stickers in the windows and.
Really strange things.
Did you see the sub from the fence?
From what fence?
From the fence you were climbing over.
No. It was far away.
You said you could see it. Yeah, we could see. And only from the fence we got the hole. There we could see. But not from where we climbed over.
Okay.
There we
so, yeah. The second fence was just outside the dock of the submarine.
Right.
But we saw the high things which are around the
which virtually resort. Advertise where it is.
Yeah. You come here.
Could you describe the when on reaching the submarine actually what it was looking like and how you got onto it and and about getting into it?
I think on the both of the side because it was on a dry dock.
Yeah.
And there was from both of the side of the sub there was maybe three bridges going.
Yeah.
And was one was
I think it was one on one side, but yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if one was locked on the side.
Yeah.
I think there was a.
And there was one entrance down the stairs to like the bottom of the submarine.
Yeah.
Down into the dry dock.
Yeah, and that was also open.
That was open.
But we went for the bridge.
Yeah, we picked a bridge which went on the deck. So we were just standing on the deck first.
Mm.
And we were like, hey, we're here.
Yeah, what are we going to do now?
And then we decided that let's go inside. Because all the, I don't know, doors or whatever.
All the hatches.
Hatches, they were open.
They were open on the deck. So you didn't climb the... Tower,
first, I think we went to tower.
We went to the. It was like the submarine is there's construction works around.
Scaffolding and.
Yeah, and the white plastic all over. So and were like different floors outside of it. So we walked up a ladder to another level and then went inside the conning tower. Yeah.
And inside the conning tower, the hatch was open there as well?
Yeah, all the hatches were open.
Okay. Yeah, all of them we saw.
Yeah.
And you decided to go inside?
Yeah.
Can you describe what you saw inside?
The tower was quite empty, but there was a... it was red inside the paint, or
red and black.
Something like the colour was something between that.
And you climbed into the... Inside the hatch.
Yeah, we were inside the conning tower and had a look. Went through another door, or we were in like two different rooms in it.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to see there.
What kind of door was it that you went through?
This is a hatch that you in a floor or a door?
No, it was a door to the
door,
door to the tower. It was a door.
Like. Quite small.
Yeah.
So this was one of those like big waterproof doors with the
twisty
handle thing.
Yeah.
But we didn't. At least I wasn't looking at the door so like carefully because they were open. If they were closed, maybe I would have like.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have to open anything or anything like that.
And what the
we were just walking
the
around.
Ladders, the ladders like?
There was the wooden ladders because of the construction.
So these were temporary ladders inside?
Yeah. But I think we were climbing as well those three ladders of the submarine inside.
Okay, I don't remember.
I'm not sure because there was...
And you didn't find anything of interest? You didn't go very far into this submarine?
No.
No. And we weren't really prepared to do anything more than just look around. So we were on both sides of the deck, on both sides of the gunning tower, and I think what we saw on one side was the openings for the nuclear missiles, about this size or something.
Yeah.
So we were standing just next to them. And
at this stage, would you like to say what if you weren't there to damage stuff?
Yeah.
What was your aim? What did you hope to achieve by doing this?
Actually, publicity and inspections.
Yeah.
And protesting.
I think for me it's a connection to the weapons inspections in Iraq that Tony Blair puts all this pressure on Iraq and threatening to go to war and all that if they don't let the weapons inspectors in. At the same time that Britain have these four nuclear submarines with a capacity of more than 1,000 Hiroshima bombs, and they're totally ignoring the non-proliferation treaty from the 70s, and they're ignoring the International Court of Justice advisory opinion that nuclear weapons are illegal, and they just seem to apply different rules for the West and the rest of the world, and it's such a big hypocrisy.
So you feel that weapons inspectors should enter military establishments in the rest of the UK or NATO or the States, and for what purpose?
What purpose the?
What purpose to have weapons inspectors look at the arsenal of weapons of mass destruction held by the UK or other countries?
Well, everybody knows that they have the nuclear weapon, so actually the inspectors just make it maybe account how much and which is the arsenal, and then they should just been destroyed.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to do with Iraq and every other nations, and I think nobody should have them.
Yeah, and I mean the same rules must apply for
everyone.
For Britain as for Iraq. There's no shouldn't be a difference.
Is there anything you regret about your action?
Maybe that we went walking more around the sub. If I could have the opportunity to go again, it might go there where the people were working, to talk with them there.
Yeah, maybe.
While they're working, because then they actually couldn't just walk away because they are working and and to see more around. But it was if I would have known that I'm going actually to the sub, I would maybe planned something and watched from the. There's a good pictures of the sub and what's inside in the Trident Pilot Handbook. So maybe I should have checked it more carefully and actually find the places which interested me.
All right. Yeah, maybe they hire you as security consultants. Maybe they'll hire you back to tell them what's wrong with security.
What's wrong? Brongot securities, of course, that they have a very dangerous nuclear reactors and a nuclear weapon.
Can you see any way in which spending more on security, cameras, dogs, fences could make a nuclear submarine safe?
The way to make them safe is to get rid of them, because it is quite scary that I'm a lousy hippie who just walks inside.
You were telling us when you were interrogated by the MOD police, they claimed to have tracked your movements.
Yeah, they, in the interview, the MOD inspector said that, yeah, where did you go? How did you come inside the base? And I didn't answer. And then he said, our dogs tracked you, and we think you came from seaside. And I didn't say anything about that. And then he asked that, did you come there by boat? And I didn't answer, but that's really weird, because the dogs actually tracked us to come from the seaside, and we actually came from the other side of the base, from the, just climb over the fence.
Well, what does that mean, they have crap dogs? Or does
they have crap dogs, they don't have security cameras, they they don't have enough people there, like, watching it. And, yeah, the fence is the kind of fence that you actually can climb over. It's weird, because, like, in Fastlane and Coolport places, which are actually in the middle of nowhere, there's the really good fences. It's really, really, I don't know if it's even possible to climb. Yeah, I think it is, but not for me. And there's razor wire and everything that you need, really need called those bolt cutters. Mm. But this, which is in the middle of the city, or not in the middle, but in the city, there's a lot of people. There's a crappy fence.
Did they ask you if you were with anyone else, whether there was anyone else in the
Yeah, place? They were asking, like, who are you here with? Where's the others? And we were like, oh, no, there's not anybody else. And the security was really interested, but I saw that the guy was really nervous. And he was like, how did you get inside here? How did you get inside? So, like, I'm not going to tell you.
Did you, you stayed in custody over the weekend until you appeared in court. What did you feel about missing the rest of the camp? Did you hear much about what else was going on?
No. I made one phone call on Saturday when I decided to stay inside the jail. And I just asked them to bring some clothes, and I didn't actually hear anything about what's going on outside. And I was really surprised when he came out of the court that there was so much media waiting for us.
How do you feel about the way the media have covered the story and treated you?
I don't know, this has actually been the first time I'm dealing with media so much. So, but they've been writing mostly about the security, which wasn't our point. But I think it's still good that they're writing something, maybe. But it's get the attention, but maybe wrong kind of. Like, people just wonder now that you should really have more security, and they probably don't think that you should get rid of those. That's what I'm afraid.
So that's something that you're going to try to stress whenever the media talk to you?
Yeah, but first I think I made all the mistakes possibly somebody can imagine. But in the first interviews, I think I was talking too much about the security things. But the more I get the interviews, the more I start talking actually what I wanted to say.
And so your key point, the key thing you want to say, what will that be?
For the media, I just said I was talking about the illegality, like the nuclear weapon are illegal, and it's a if nobody else is interested, there's have to be somebody who's looking after the international law. Like, if somebody's stealing from a shop, people think that it's their duty to tell somebody, like, hey, these people were stealing. Because that's, if I'm talking something like, oh, they are so immoral, that they have so much social effects and stuff if you use those nuclear weapons, then media will make me look like a stupid, fool, young girl. So there have to be something old, I think.
And your message through the media to ordinary people, to readers, and...
I think it's that individuals, they really have the they can have the power and they can really do something about things. Like now, it took only two persons to create the kind of great story for the media.
And anyone could have done that.
Yeah, it could have actually been anyone.
It could have been you.
Yeah. Might be you next time. But it was really, I wouldn't do it if I wouldn't like the feeling and the everything about the actions, because it's something like, it's really exciting as well.
You got a real buzz out of it, you didn't find it, I mean obviously you were nervous at the time, but how did you beat your fear? I think Petter's write-up says he had legs of spaghetti.
Yeah, I didn't feel so much. Like, I was just excited that, hey, I'm actually here and this is actually possible. I think people should do that more often, just go over the fence. So actually just going over the fence, and even if they're not going to try to go to the submarine, it's just a protest that this fence shouldn't be here, this place should be just a normal like harbour or nice place for people to go for a picnic or something, not the military base.
Cool. Anything else?
Oh, the fire alarms.
Yeah. Yeah, when we first went to the sub, we were maybe the first 5 minutes there, and then we were like, I don't know what to do, and a bit nervous, but yeah, this is really the thing, and we found a fire alarm. It was a huge button, and I tried to press it, but nothing happened. I couldn't like press it because it didn't go down, and also Petter tried to press it, but that's nothing happened, so obviously it wasn't working, or then it's just so I don't know, because I think that usually fire alarms, they should be really simple to use, that like people because they are for emergencies. So then we decided that, okay, if it's not working, if even a fire alarm is not working and nobody's seen us, like, what the hell, we have no choice, that we just have to walk around here. And then after a while, when I think then we went inside and then to the back of the sub, and then there was two another fire alarms. First we pressed the one, and... it just went, it started this huge noise, and after a while it stopped and nothing happened. So on the other side of the sub there was another same kind of fire alarm, and we pressed that one, and again noise, which is the normal noise for the fire alarm, and after that went off, the people started climbing. Coming out of the sub. And I think it's 20 minutes after pressing the fire alarms, we were arrested.
So basically, it took, as a alarm indicating a fire on a nuclear submarine, and it took 20 minutes for someone to come and investigate.
Yeah, and the... What time the police said that we
pressed the alarm?
Yeah, it was...
11:30. Yeah.
And maybe 10 minutes after or something came the one guy, the officer, and asked that if we...
No, not 10 minutes.
How long was it faster?
Yeah, it was maybe a little bit
I don't know, but still... But it was quite a long time.
Yes. I take it that neither of you two had watches.
No. But yeah, just these times are tested once we got from the police.
Yeah, so there was no synchronising of watches or...
No, it didn't.
But the MOD police... MOD police arrest us in the office of the people working in the sub.
Yeah.
And it was...
11:55. That's the only... times we know.
So 25 minutes after the first fire alarm.
Right.
Was the first fire alarm on the outside?
Yeah, they were both outside. Yeah. Really?
No. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say, maybe your particular main point that you'd like to get across on the in future on the mainstream media, or a message that you would like via the media to get to ordinary people about what you did or what they can do?
Well, they I should want to say something about the funny thing is that we actually could have done lots of damage in the sub and just walk away.
Yeah.
And nobody knew who was it.
Just
amazing.
I don't know. I think it's maybe because media is focusing very much now on the security of this space, as if that was the main security issue. But I mean, a much bigger security issue is that Britain, Josh Hoon, the British Minister of Defence, has threatened to use nuclear weapons against Iraq in March this year. Britain is in a situation where they are likely to go to war on Iraq. These weapons can wipe out whole cities and destroy, really destroy the environment of the world, and that's a safety issue to consider.